This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, this is Jane Garvey, and this is the Woman's Hour Parenting Podcast. This week, this is about how you best look after your children with food allergies. They are common. At 6%, we're told, of children in the developing world have an allergy of some kind. And we wanted to look at how you can feed your child well if they do have any allergies. My guest is Claire Thornton-Wood, paediatric dietitian, and I asked her what were the common food groups that children were most likely to be allergic to.
So the most common food group is milk, that's the most common one, and then following that it's eggs, and then it becomes peanuts, tree nuts, fish a bit less common, wheat.
Right, let's start with milk, obviously. Can you be allergic to breast milk?
You can be allergic to breast milk, and the reason for that is because the foods that the mother eats then pass through the breast milk and are consumed by the baby. So yes, if we have a child that has an allergy to a particular food, we would ask the mother to remove that food from her diet.
Right, okay, but not easy to put it mildly.
It depends what it is, but no, possibly not easy to do.
How would you know, actually, if a very young baby was allergic to breast milk?
I mean, you would be looking at the kind of symptoms that they would have. I think it's probably first of all important to say there are two types of allergy. There's what we call an IgE allergy. So that is the allergy most people would think of, the anaphylaxis, the potential swelling of the lips, hives all over the body. That's very sudden and happens within often within minutes, but certainly within a couple of hours of eating a particular food. The other type of allergy is called a non-IgE allergy, and that's a kind of slow-burning allergy that sometimes can take days, even weeks, to appear and tends to manifest itself in things more like chronic eczema, constipation, faltering growth, abdominal pain, that kind of thing. So clearly, if you have the more immediate type of reaction, it's often quite easy to pinpoint what has caused it. So you can then quite easily
remove. But the other type is actually no less difficult, is it?
The other type is more difficult. So with an IgE allergy, you can have tests for that. You can have a skin prick test. You can have IgE blood tests, and that can give you a very good answer. With the other type of allergy, it's more like a trial and error. So you have a look at a healthcare professional, usually a dietitian, would have a look at the diet, think the mother may even have an idea of what it is, and then you would remove that food from the diet. And if the symptoms then improve, the gold standard is to put the food back into the diet. If the symptoms reappear, then you know you've hit on the right food.
If you have a family where there are a lot of people with even quite mild eczema, should you be concerned?
You should be concerned because there is something we know called the allergic march, where people who have eczema, I mean, I'm not talking about small patches, I'm talking about sort of quite bad eczema, are more likely to go on to develop other allergies like food allergies and asthma and hay fever. So it's really important if your child has got eczema to actually really get on top of that, because if you think about it, your skin is like a barrier. It's like you're sitting in a plastic bag, and your plastic bag is designed, it's waterproof really, and it's designed to keep everything out. If you've got eczema, you've actually got really quite large areas of very exposed skin, and then the allergens are actually able to penetrate through. And we know that that then predisposes people to become allergic to particular foods.
The milk ladder is something that I honestly had never heard of. What does that mean?
OK, so the milk ladder is something that's been developed over many, many years and refined, and is a way of bringing milk back into a child's diet when they are, we think that they're growing out of their allergy. So it's really important to say that the milk ladder needs to be done under medical guidance, usually a dietitian, and it should not be used for any child that has an IgE, immediate type reaction. So the milk ladder is where we use milk in very small amounts, going up to larger amounts, and we use milk that's very, very well cooked, like in a biscuit or a cupcake, going up to yogurt and then a glass of milk. And the idea behind it is it's the protein in the milk that causes the difficulty. The protein is a certain shape. Once you heat it or treat it by making it slightly more acidic, the shape of it changes, and then the receptors in your body don't recognise it in just the same way. It's a bit like putting a Lego brick. If you've got them, they go really well together. If you were to put one of your Lego bricks in the microwave and change its shape, it then wouldn't fit together.
Got you. OK, that's a really good way of describing it. So to peanut butter or peanuts, which obviously is a big, big area, I've heard the idea, it's that people purport to have done, that you give your child a peanut butter sandwich, but in the car park of a hospital with an A&E, and then see what happens. Is that a good idea?
I do know that mothers do that.
Every A&E in the country is going to be going bonkers now.
Of course, a traffic jam in the car parks. It used to be said that you shouldn't give your children highly allergenic foods at a young age. Certainly when I had my children, it was the mother didn't eat peanuts, the children didn't have peanuts when they were babies. That advice has now changed, and we are saying that children should be given. There's the EAT study and the LEAP study have shown that we should now be giving children foods that are potentially allergenic at a much younger age. So around 6 months, when you're weaning them, you should start to offer them things like peanuts. Obviously, you mustn't give them whole peanuts, so you use peanut powder, which you can then mix into things like yogurt or drop it into casseroles, things like that.
Yes, you have obviously got to be very careful, but at the same time, being overcautious won't be a help either, will it?
No, I mean, that's I think part of the problem. We think that perhaps we've been a bit overcautious previously, and then that has caused perhaps more children to become allergic.
Do you think that is that what people are saying?
I think that there is some evidence that that by excluding a food, sometimes it does make a child more likely to allergic.
This isn't a criticism of you, but it doesn't help that the advice just keeps changing. And I said we wanted to focus on eating well. I do think that's important. If your child, for whatever reason, allergic reaction or something else, can't eat a particular sort of food or chooses not to, how do you ensure they are getting all the right nutrients?
It depends on what the food is. So obviously, if you're not eating eggs or you're not eating peanuts, that's not so much of a problem. If it's a big food group like cow's milk, you need to take extra care to make sure they get everything. So with cow's milk, it's calcium that you would be looking at. And also, taking cow's milk out from the diet excludes quite a lot of fat. You know, you wouldn't be having cheese, you wouldn't be having yogurt.
Yeah.
But it's perfectly possible to feed a child without those foods.
Is it? So what do you give them?
Well, you can use lots of different milks. If you've got a very small child, they would probably be on a prescribed formula. Older children can have oat milk or some of the other plant-based milks, soya milk, the nut milks. And they're all fortified with calcium to exactly the same level as they are in cow's milk.
And if you don't want to eat meat, or you, I suppose some people could be allergic to meat, couldn't they? Is that is the thing, is it? You don't look very sure. Potentially.
Potentially. Yeah. Yes, potentially.
OK, so pulses, lentils, but then you could be allergic to them too.
You could. I mean, we do see children that do have multiple allergies. And obviously, the more allergies you have, the more difficult it is to to find foods that you can eat.
I just want to mention this email from Becky. My first child was allergic to cow dairy. I gave up dairy as the protein was passing through my breast milk, ended up doing loads of baking and making food from scratch. 4 years later and 100 attempts at the milk ladder, we have finally completed it and he's okay with dairy in his diet. So that fascinates me. I mean, very briefly, Claire, why do some people then grow out of allergies?
A lot of people, yes, they do grow out of allergies. It's just they gradually build up the tolerance, which is what the milk ladder does. It gradually builds up your tolerance to the foods that you've previously been allergic to.
Claire Thornton-Wood, paediatric dietitian. That's the Woman's Hour Parenting podcast for this week. If there's anything you'd like us to feature in this podcast, contact the programme via the website bbc.co.uk/womanshour.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.